And they came up with all these sayings and proverbs just as they observed nature. And so somewhere they must have, you know, observed the crocodile in the water, and then another place they observed the crocodile on the land, and they came to the conclusion that the strength of the crocodile is in the water.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Part 7 of More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Part 7 of More Than Conquerors.
And I've been reading this devotion book entitled Our Help. And it's a book that was written by African Americans, and it deals with the struggles that African Americans have had over the years here in America. And this past week, I was reading one of the devotions, and this thing just jumped out at me, and it got in my spirit, it got in my soul, and it got in my heart, and I said, man, that's a message. That sounds like it's a message for me. But the devotion was centered around an African proverb. And there was an African proverb that says, the strength of the crocodile is in the river. The strength of the crocodile is in the river. In other words, if you get the crocodile out of the water, that he's not as powerful and he's not as effective as he is in the water. When you look at the crocodile, we see a couple things. That crocodiles are very fast swimmers. In the water, they can swim 20 miles an hour. And on land, they are hindered because of their tail. And their stomach is so close to the ground that as they try to run, their stomach drags on the ground and their tail slows them down. So they are a lot faster in water. The crocodile's tail, and if you ever get a chance to go online and just look at some video, that the crocodile's tail enables it, and I don't know how they do it, but it enables the crocodile to come up out of the water and just come way above the water because of the motion of his tail. And so on the land, the crocodile can't do that. Crocodiles, and you know, I learned a lot about crocodiles this week. You know, crocodiles can hold their breath underwater for over an hour. And as they are under there, a lot of times, that's how they get their prey. That they stay underwater, and then when their prey comes close, that's when they go and attack it. So, you know, it allows them to be undetected. And the jaws of a crocodile can exert 5,000 pounds of pressure, where it says that the average human can only exert 100 pounds of pressure, that the jaws of the crocodile, especially in the water, can exert 5,000 pounds of pressure. And so, you know, and you just think, you know, I often think about, you know, our forefathers in Africa and just how they observed nature. And they came up with all these sayings and proverbs just as they observed nature. And so somewhere they must have, you know, observed the crocodile in the water, and then another place they observed the crocodile on the land, and they came to the conclusion that the strength of the crocodile is in the water. And so what is the crocodile saying? The crocodile is looking for home field advantage. That when the crocodile is on land, he's the visiting team. Right? But when he's in the water, he has home field advantage. Now you may say, well, what's the big deal about home field advantage? Well, just think of football and when the playoff times come. And even during the season, teams like to play home because it's a statistic that you win more at home than you do away. And so teams like to play at home. Now, when you look at the playoffs, and you know, what's the teams that are in the playoffs, one of the things that they're always vying for, one of the things that they're always trying to get is home field advantage. And why is that? And there are several reasons why they want home field advantage. The first one is because they know their turf. That, you know, you play on that turf, you know where the divots are, you know where the holes are, you know where the grass is cut, you know your turf, so you like to play at home. Another reason that teams like to play at home is because there are more fans in the stands, more people that are there cheering you on. Now, you know, and I didn't know this until I read it. You know, I kind of thought it, but when I read it, it made sense. It says that, and this is a statistics prove this out, that booing the opponent actually works. That when you're in another team stadium and the fans are booing, that actually works to the advantage of the home team. And so we see that the alligator or the crocodile has home field advantage in the water. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul said that I can do all things through Christ. That when we are in Christ, we have home field advantage. But when we are outside of Christ, we are a visiting team. We're in another environment. There was a African lady, and she wrote a poem, not necessarily a rhyming poem, but she wrote a poem that says the strength of the crocodile is in the river. We draw our strength from home. We draw our strength from a stable foundation. We draw our strength from our roots. We draw our strength from blood. We draw our strength from true friends. The strength of a crocodile is in the river. All right? The crocodile can't survive on land. The crocodile can't survive in the sky. The crocodile can't survive without water. The crocodile is vulnerable outside the river. The crocodile is weak outside the river. The crocodile is open to numerous attacks outside the river. The crocodile can be easily killed outside the river. The strength of the crocodile is in the river. Christians draw strength from the name of Jesus Christ. Christians draw strength from the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil destroys those outside of Christ. Christ is our refuge. Christ is our river. Christ is our strength. The strength of the crocodile is in the river. If you are here today and you are in Christ, that you have the strength that you need to be successful in life. In John chapter 15, Jesus said in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. As you can see, Christ is the true vine, and that we are the branches, and that we have to be connected. We have to be in Christ. Whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are in Christ. And he goes on to say in verses 4 and 5, if you put this slide up, the next one, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you have no spiritual strength. And that's why Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm here to say, just like the strength of the crocodile is in the river, the strength of the believer is in Christ. Wow. That if you are connected to Jesus Christ, if you are the branch that's rooted in Christ, and you know what flows through the vine, the sap, the life of the tree comes through the sap. And that sap flows out through the vine, and it flows through the branches. And as it flows through the branches, you see that fruit is produced. And Jesus says that unless you are in me, you can do nothing. And just think about the difference of a life that's in the hand of Jesus. I've said before, if you take a baseball and you put it in the hands of a professional baseball player, it's worth a lot of money. As a matter of fact, the Philadelphia Phillies this past week signed a player for $75 million. $75 million. Because he could do what? Play the ball. You take that same ball that $75 million player uses, and you put it in the hands of Pastor Glaze. How much is a baseball worth?
$100.
It's not worth very much. You take a song and you put it in the voice of Yolanda Adams, or you put it in the voice of another one of the great gospel singers, and it's worth a Grammy. It's worth millions of dollars. But if you take that same song and you put it in the voice of Pastor Glaze, people will get up and leave. It all depends whose hands or whose voice is in. You take a life and you put it in the hands of William Raymond Glaze, he'll make a mess out of it. But if you take a life and you put it in the hands of Jesus Christ, Solomon said he makes all things beautiful in his time. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. It all depends whose hands it's in. And Jesus said that if we will put our lives in his hands, that's where our strength comes from, that we can do nothing apart from Christ. And yet on the other hand, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The unbeliever is outside of Christ. And outside of Christ, the unbeliever has no strength. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That if you're here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have zero spiritual strength. You have zero spiritual strength. And that's why when you look at people who say, well, I'm not such a bad person. I'm a good person. You know, how could a loving God let a good person go to hell. Well, let me tell you how a loving God can let a good person go to hell is because that good person, as good as they are, they can help little old ladies across the street. They can buy Girl Scout cookies. They can do all these things, but they have no spiritual strength. No spiritual strength. Those individuals who are relatives and they proclaim their goodness and they tell people how good they are and how they're a philanthropist and do all these great deeds and all these great things. And they might even shake and they might even impact their culture, their city, the world. But they have no spiritual strength. And why is that? Because they're not in Christ. You can be the greatest person in the world. But if you're not in Christ, you have no spiritual strength. And you know, I wonder why sometimes we as believers, we let the unsaved get us on their playing field. Right? That here in Christ, we have home field advantage in Christ. You got home field advantage. You got the crowd on your side, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know the turf, the Word of God in prayer. You got people that are gonna boo the other team, right? The choir, they're gonna boo the other team when they sing praises to God, right? When they praise God, they're booing the other team, right? Why in the world do you step out of home field advantage and step into the visiting team's locker room, in the visiting team's field? They have no strength. They have no power. And you have power. Yo, I think about, and I'm sure if you think about your life before you got in Christ, that I was a pretty weak individual. You know, I remember every New Year's, I would make resolutions. One of the things that I did is I smoked cigarettes. And I remember every New Year's, I would say, I'm gonna stop. And I would stop, you know, sometimes for a day, sometimes, you know, for a week. But I was eventually back into them Newports, right? And and I asked, when I got saved, one of the things that the Lord did, he came in. And the Lord gave me the strength to be able to step outside of that environment and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and strengthen me and give me the victory in that area. See, before I was in Christ, I was without strength. But now that I'm in Christ, I have strength. And so that leads me to the next point, and that is that you can be a believer and you can be working outside of Christ, and now when you work outside of Christ, you lose your strength. Then in Christ, you have power and you have strength. Outside of Christ, you have no power and you have no strength. Look at 2 Kings, one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. I got a couple stories in the Bible, but this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, "Behold, the place where we dwell with thee is too small for us." So here were some preachers in training, and they had a school, a seminary that they went to, and your God was pouring out his spirit, and many preachers were being called, and so they needed a bigger place. And verse 2 says, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take there every man a beam, and let us place there where we may dwell." And he said, "Go." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and they came to the Jordan, and they cut down wood. So here they were, chopping down trees to build a seminary. Verse 5, but as one was felling a beam or chopping a tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it in there, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, "Take it up," and put out his hand, and he took it. So what's happening here? That he's down there, and he's chopping trees down. And can you imagine, man, this guy's just going, he's going at it, he's chopping the trees, he's seeing the wood fly off everywhere, he's seeing bark fly off everywhere, and these trees are coming down, man. And they said, "Man, we're going to put an extension on this school." And here they are, working. And then all of a sudden, the axe head flies off the handle, and it goes into the water. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, I think it's happened to some of us. You know, if we were in that situation, and maybe some of us have been in a similar situation where when we're swinging that axe and then we bring it back and the axe head flies off, then what do? We come back one more time because we don't know that we lost the power. But then we might chop it again. And then we realize that the power is gone. It's gone. And sometimes we as Christians, you know, we continue to try to chop trees down in the kingdom of God. We continue to try to do the work of God, and we've lost our power because we're not in Christ. There's a lot of preachers that stand in the pulpit and they're preaching the word of God, and God is nowhere around. There's a lot of Christians that's serving in the church, and God is nowhere around. There's a lot of people that are going to their jobs and trying to deal with all the knuckleheads that you got to deal with. And you're trying to do it in your own strength. You're trying to do it in your own power. You gotta get that axe head. Years ago, there was one of the major parades in California, and they had all these floats, right? I mean, beautiful floats that were in this parade, and some of the biggest companies in the world had floats that were in the parade. And then all of a sudden, one of the floats ran out of gas. And it backed up the whole parade. I mean, the whole parade came to a standstill. Now, you know, the shame of it all was the float that broke down was the Standard Oil float. Or just ran out of gas. Standard Oil that ran out of gas, right? Here, they are a company that provides energy and power, and they had no power. And when we think about our lives as believers, our lives as the children of God, we got all this power, and we run out of gas. Where are you at right now? Where are you operating in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you in Christ, and are you drawing on the strength of Christ?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part 7 of More Than Conquerors. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Part 7 of More Than Conquerors, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Part 7 of More Than Conquerors. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Part 7 of More Than Conquerors. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.